One of the other points that I'd like to mention is that we have two beginnings on this calendar. At the top, on the 14th day of Nisan, is the Passover. That was to be the beginning of months. You'll remember that. But here on the first day of Tishri, down at the bottom here, the seventh month, the first day of Tishri, that was the new year, Rosh Hashanah. So within this calendar we've got two beginnings, you understand. And of course it was Israel's alarm clock to show them that they had to have a new beginning. There's a natural beginning and there is a spiritual beginning. And except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We come then to Exodus 23. And we come to consider the three harvest festivals, which are clearly marked for you, and I've marked them in green. The three harvest festivals, Exodus 23. Now it was three times a year that all the males were to come and present themselves before the Lord. Take it from the Revised Version and at verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee at the time appointed in the month of Aviv. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And of course they shouldn't appear before him empty, because it was harvest time. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest. Now the feast of harvest is during harvest time. It's in fact the feast of weeks. If you'd like to make a note of it in your margin, if you don't already have it, Deuteronomy 6 and at verse 16. Deuteronomy 6 and at verse 16. The feast of weeks. So we've got unleavened bread in verse 15 and now we have the feast of weeks. The first fruits of thy labors. And so we can see there's the first fruits directly after it, after the very first week after Passover. So there it is. We've got the feast of harvest, the first fruits. So we can see we're in the right context of thy labors which thou hast sown in thy field, and the feast of ingathering. At the end of the year, there it is, at the end of Elul, the beginning of Tishri, at the end of the year, that's the feast of ingathering, when thou shalt have gathered in all thy labours out of thy field. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So built into Israel's alarm clock, all the males were to present themselves before the Lord. And these three specific times, unleavened bread, feast of weeks, and then the feast of ingathering. I wonder why. Well, I would like to submit to you that the children of Israel were being warned of three incredible events that were going to take place in their history. And those would be the death of their Messiah, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the final ingathering of the Gentiles into the covenants that were made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And of course this is true when we look at it carefully, which we will do now. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, it was the time of the Passover when all males were to present themselves before the Lord, and while they were planning to kill the Passover lamb, precisely and exactly at the same time they were planning to kill Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Luke 22 and at verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might put him to death. Verse 7. And the day of unleavened bread came on which the Passover must be sacrificed. And he said unto Peter and John, saying, go make ready for us the Passover, that we may eat. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, mark those words carefully, Jesus knew that his hour had now come. That in God's calendar, there was a precise moment marked off that he should give his life. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And of course, John the Baptist had introduced Jesus to the multitudes, to the nation of Israel. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All Israel knew that this was the Lamb of God. Israel's alarm clock was sounding pretty loudly. But very few people were listening. Verse 44 of 23. Luke 23 and at verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, that's midday, 12 o'clock on Israel's alarm clock. 12 o'clock, which is pointing directly to the crucifixion time. It was the sixth hour. And darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun's light was failing. The sun was given for signs and for seasons. Just prior to the Passover in Egypt, you remember the ninth plague? There was darkness. Darkness that could be felt. And it was going to be felt again as the sun darkened. And the veil in the temple was rent in the midst. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the Spirit. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, is the way the Apostle puts it. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Year in, year out, the children of Israel were being warned of this incredible event. It was built into their calendar, into their alarm clock. Very few people listened. 3 days later, the Lamb of God was to be awakened from sleep and to become the first fruits of them that slept. Is it any surprise that the very next notch on the calendar is first fruits? 50 days later, another incredible event was to take place. This was shadowed in the year of Jubilee, when the Holy Spirit was to be poured out and men spake with new languages. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the great day of Pentecost, you'll remember, when all the men came to present themselves before the Lord. And they were all there. There's a whole long list of them, 15 in all, excluding the proselytes, from all over the Mediterranean area. And verse 12. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others said, they are filled with new wine. Of course they were filled with new wine, brethren and sisters. The wine of the Spirit. Can't take new wine and put it into old bottles. Great lesson for us there, brethren and sisters. You've got to take new wine and put it into new bottles. Verse 14. Dealing with natural wine here. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah and all them that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and upon my handmaidens, in those days I will pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. There it is again. Signs and for seasons. Incredible. The sun shall be darkened. and the moon shall be turned into blood before the day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, brethren and sisters. Not might be saved. Shall be saved. Again, Israel's alarm clock was ringing. 50 days after the Passover. But this time people were beginning to listen. In fact, 3,000 people listened that day. 3,000 people were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Come back to Leviticus 23. We'll come then to consider the third time that all males were to present themselves before the Lord. The great Feast of Tabernacles, which pointed forward to the final harvest, when Jews and Gentiles together from every land and from every nation would be gathered together in the glorious promised Sabbath rest. But of course, before that great Sabbath rest dawns, brethren and sisters, there is the final warning. And the final warning is to be done with trumpets. Listen to the words carefully, huh? The seventh trumpet sounds, and the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. Leviticus 23 and at verse 23, the Feast of Trumpets. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, there it is again, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a solemn rest unto you, a memorial, like we're going to do tomorrow, brethren and sisters. We're going to have a memorial tomorrow. This is going to be a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And for those that heed the trumpet call, for those who have spiritual ears, to those that listen what the Spirit saith unto the churches, they will become at one with their Maker. They will become at one with their Lord. And of course, that's exactly what the atonement means, doesn't it? To become at one with God. And God dwells within us. No doubt, you will see the connection in verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, howbeit, on the 10th day of this seventh month is the day of at-one-ment. And once complete the final harvest of ingathering, watch Israel. The last war in Israel was on the Day of Atonement, brethren and sisters. The 10th day of Tishri. What a warning. Verse 33. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Verse 39. Howbeit, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the first fruits, or the fruits of the land, ye shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a solemn rest. And on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And ye shall take you on the first day, the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. That's kingdom language, brethren and sisters. That's kingdom language. You will know a tree by its fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. An evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And here they are, fruit of goodly trees. And there are palm trees there. Upright trees, trees of righteousness. Listen to these words from Psalm 1. The righteous shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's kingdom language, brethren and sisters. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. Is it any wonder that on the Mount of Transfiguration they built 3 tabernacles? Is it any wonder when we consider Zechariah 14, after the great Holocaust, they go up from year to year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Is it any wonder that He tabernacled amongst us, full of grace and truth, and that God wants to tabernacle within us? The greatest ingathering of all times, brethren and sisters, deserves the greatest rejoicing of all times. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. That's why in Leviticus 23, more space is given to the Feast of Tabernacles than any of the other feasts, pointing forward to the time when brethren and sisters from all ages will be gathered together into one, when all the redeemed shall present themselves before the Lord, finally and forever. I bring you now to Revelation 22. And just see how all these beautiful thoughts are brought together. Revelation 22 from verse 1. And he showed me a river of water of life. Living water, brethren and sisters, that's it. Living water. Bright as crystal. And it's proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street thereof, and on the side of the river and on that, a tree of life. What's it doing, brethren and sisters? It's bringing forth 12 manner of fruit. There it is in the calendar. There were 12 manner of fruit there. 12 apostles, 12 tribes. 12 manner of fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And His servants shall do Him service. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They'll need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever.